Yes, he'll give you everything. This is Bishop Dr. Gregory Scott welcoming you once again to Gary United Ministries, where you're listening from the archives, whether you're live, whether it's Monday, 9 or noon. God is always with you, and he will give you everything. Yes, he will. And Pastor Patricia Benjamin will be joining us at the conclusion of this song. Amen.
All you gotta do is try, and you will receive. Now my God is giving to you.
Come on, let's give God a praise offering, because he will give us everything that we need. For this is the day that the Lord he hath made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Ain't no secret what God can do. He blesses your neighbor, and guess what? Don't be surprised. He'll bless you too. I thank God for being here one more time with you in Radio Land. It is so peaceful here in Radio Land. There's no ism, no schism, no yes, no no, no up, no down, no all around. I'm not talking about you. You're not talking about me. It's peaceful. I told one of the church folk on a few days ago, I said, you know, you all seem to have so much chaos and turmoil going on in the house of God. It's nothing new. They talked about it in Timothy, that I believe that there is a little something going on between you guys. But you know what? I told her, I said, I'm going to stay on the radio where it's peaceful here. I'm not arguing with anyone, and no one is arguing with me. I thank God for Jesus on today. God is so wonderful. He is worthy to be praised. Don't you think God is worthy to be praised? I tell you, he'll give you everything that you need. I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for Jesus. Bless his name. I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for Jesus. Bless his name. Amen. I tell you, I thank God for Jesus. Bless his name. He is so wonderful to me. He's my joy in sorrow, my hope for tomorrow. We've had a lot of deaths since the beginning of the new year, I've lost a lot of neighbors and friends near and far. The last death I received on yesterday morning, that a dear friend of mine from my teen years had passed away. Sister Scott, we always be excited when Sister Scott was able to get on the air with Sister Tara Scott and her family. I offer my condolences. She was one of my radio listeners from Peterfield, South Carolina, who battled with some illnesses, and just over the last year and a half or so, she's been on dialysis, and now the battle is over. Death has won, but I tell you, we have a hope in Jesus, for he's able to carry us through these trying times, these moments of death. It doesn't feel good. But when we look at our loved ones, and particularly me, when I see my loved ones suffering, and there isn't anything that medicine can do to correct it, there isn't anything that a prayer does for healing, fix, then God blesses them with death by taking them out of their pain and their suffering. There's no more sickness in heaven. There's no crying there, no more dying there. Oh, my God. There's no whatever condition that we suffer with here on this earth. It is not allowed in heaven. Lung disease is not allowed in heaven. I tell you, eye conditions is not allowed in heaven. Heart condition, kidney failure, bad aching feet, none of those things are allowed in heaven. Oh, my God, talking about heaven, don't you want to go? I heard Dr. White sing once, heaven is a happy place, heaven in mind. And I tell you, we're getting ready to eulogize Bishop Frank O. White from the 3rd Ecclesiastes District, jurisdiction. But his wife sang many years ago, heaven is a happy place. Don't you want to go to heaven? Heaven is mine. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. So I'm a little saddened today over the loss of my dear friend, Sister Tara, and I offer prayers for her three children, who are adults, but they're still her children. I will miss her largely when I journey to South Carolina. I won't be able to go and visit her in the flesh any longer. And I'd like to just say this about her. She was last on our broadcast doing our Thanksgiving service. And my God, the prophet talked to her and prophesied things to her, and she just began to praise God. She praised God down on the inside of her. And that's what I've been holding on to, the fact that she was praising God so that it seemed like it was already all right, seemed like it was already well with her soul, how she cried out, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. She had a heavy, raspy voice similar to mine, and she just said, thank you, Jesus. And her voice just came out so clearly, even though she had a lung condition. But to God be the glory. I have that recorded in the archives. I wish I could fly down to be with her family, but circumstances doesn't permit that as of yet. So I just want to thank God for her life on today. She's been a widow for several years.
my God. Now she's gone home with her husband. Thank you, sweet Jesus. Pray for my sister. She was my sister, dear, dear friend. Oh, bless his name. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank God, yeah, for saving me. I'm looking in the book of Hebrews on today. Excuse me. And I just looked here and I just saw this. It may not have anything to do with my message on today. And it just says here in this third chapter of Hebrews and the 7th verse is, therefore, as the Holy Spirit say, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness where your fathers tested me, tried me. It reads funny. And saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with the generations and said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today. Oh my God, I don't know what God be doing. Many, many times I don't understand how God takes control of me. Just thinking about, we have loved ones that we haven't hugged in a long time. We need to just get them a hug. We have loved ones that we haven't even said to them, hey, I love you. I care about you. Someone told me, I believe, yes, it was yesterday, in the evening of yesterday, a lady called me and she said that her brother, oh God, I thank you, that her brother said to her on yesterday, I love you. She has not heard her brother say those words to her for many, many, many years. They live on the same street. They're in walking distance from one another. I'd say maybe about 9 houses straight up the road they live from one another. I don't even know if it's 9 houses. It may not be that many houses. Jesus, I'm trying to not count out loud, but do this in my head. I don't even think it's 9 houses between them. And she said her brother called her and said to her, I love you. And that brought tears to her eyes, because to have your brother tell you that he loves you and he hasn't told you that in years, and you all have been at odds with one another for a while, you know, nothing harsh, but just, you know, a little distance going on there. But for whatever reason, on yesterday, he felt it not robbery to say to his sister, I love you. So I go back to verse 13 of chapter 3 of the Hebrew Gospel. But exalt one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. You know, I'm reading from my new Spirit-filled Bible. I always let you all know which Bible I'm reading from, because my King James read that just a little bit differently. I just wanted to read that since God brought that to my mind's eye. But I wanted to come out of this book here on today. I apologize if I seem very quiet, but that's just where I am. That's just where I am on today. God bless you, Dr. Scott. It is always good to have you around. It's always a joy knowing that you're on the other side of this and you're making it happen. Thank you so much. I oftentimes say I don't know what I would do without you, but I do know what I would do without you. I would really just lose it, because you keep this program going. And I just want to say again, thank you so much. And I turned away from where I wanted to come out of, and I am now looking that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last day, walking according to their own lust. Well, we see that that's going on now, that they're walking according to their own lust, according to what turns them on, according to what makes them happy. You see the situation going on in this world today, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing of water and in the water. You know, that is just, you know, listen to this. The water, do you ever really look? It seems like it's so strange how God is just so awesome. The water and the skies seem as if they're touching one another. Have you ever really observed that? I had the privilege of going to Switzerland a few years ago, and when I was in Switzerland, I looked at the mountains. I've been to Virginia on the west side, over there, over in Roanoke and Salem and places that I looked at the mountains. There's a lot of mountains there in Roanoke, Virginia, that area, and I never saw mountains like that before. And I said, wow, look at that. In fact, a friend took me up on one of the mountains, and it was so scary. Up there, they had a road that you could drive up this mountain, and it was during the holiday times. It had a big, huge star that they put way up there on that mountain, and you could see it for miles and miles and miles all over the cities and the little towns that was connected with Roanoke and what have you. And the young man took me up there to see it, take a look at. And I just felt so frightened up there, so high up. And I was happy when I came back down. But when I was in Switzerland there, we were driving, and I said to my chauffeur, I said, please stop the car. I need to observe these mountains. It seemed as if they were touching. It looked like they were kissing the sky. That's how close they were. I said, my God, I have never seen anything so beautiful in my life. They were different from what I saw in Roanoke, Virginia. They are mountains. Yes, they are. But nothing like the mountains that I saw in Switzerland. And when I saw this, I began to feel the presence of God. Some while back when we would get on our Sunday broadcast, Dr. Scott would play a song from an artist called How Do You Find God? Where do you find God? And I like that song because it just makes so much sense to me. And when you look at those mountains, you see the work of God. That's where you find God. I can answer the singer's question. You find God everywhere. You find him in the trees, and you find God in the flowers. You find him in the lilies of the field. You find God everywhere and everything that's on this earth. There is God. There is no grass without God. There's no trees, no birds, and no bees without God. Everything that we see, that we touch, God is there. The water that many of you love to drink, God is in the water. The water many of you love to swim, that's where you find God. If you go to the designated house of the Lord, God is there. How do you find God? I'm reminded of another songwriter that says, I've crossed the highest mountains and the seas and what have you. He said, but I searched all over. I couldn't find nobody. Nobody great. Nobody greater than you. I don't know why he would even go looking for anyone that's greater than God. No man cannot make a heaven. No man can make water. Man make a lot of things. I watched the program. How is it made? But I've never seen on the program, how do you make water? How do you make sand? Show me, how do you make the stars in the sky and the moon. How do you make those? So why would you go searching, looking for anything or anyone greater than God? No one is greater than God. Another songwriter put it this way: how great thou art, says, then sings my soul, my Savior, God, to thee. How great thou art, oh, bless his name. Why would you go searching all over and only to discover that there's nobody greater? Nobody greater than God. Nobody. He said he searched the highest mountain, but nobody greater than the other writer said, tell me how. How do you find God? Well, you can find God when you go to his word. For he says, I am the Lord, that is my name. You find God in his word. One was looking for God, and the other writer was saying he couldn't find nobody greater than God. They both had an experience. One couldn't find God, wanted to know, how do I find this God? The God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God, how do I find him? Where is he? And then the other one said, I searched all over. Couldn't find nobody. Nobody. He gave God his benevolence. He couldn't find no one. He had to admit, look all over the world if you choose, but you will never find no one greater than God. So search all over, but you will not find no one greater than God. I'm almost finished. I tell you, I'm excited. I have enjoyed the Lord on today because I just didn't intend to go this way. But again, God is in control of my steps. There's no need in the book of Psalms that we ask the Lord to order our steps and then we step in the muck and the miry. Step where he orders you to step. If that be the case, you ask him to order your steps. Oh my God, I you know how I get excited. It said back, I'm going back to that sixth verse, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. Now see, verse 5 said this, for this they willingly forget. We forget. So then we're like the woman who said, where do you find God? We soon forget where we come from. We sing a song in my church that says, I'll never forget what you done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. No, never. I'll never forget what you done for me. I'll never forget how you set me free. I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget. No, never. And then they fixed it up a bit and said, never, never forget. So people that's wondering where is God, they've forgotten who
God is. Maybe that's why the young man said he searched all over and couldn't find nobody. Maybe he forgot how great is our God. Huh? Maybe he forgot, so he began to say, well, let's see if there's anybody out here that can compare to my God that I once knew. Oh, I love the Lord. How about you? Verse 5 said, for this they willingly forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water. That's a bad God. You hear me? He got the water out of the water and in the water. Oh, bless his name. Ooh, woo. Listen. And the water. Listen. And let's go back. For this they willingly forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and prediction of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this once thing, this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. For the Lord, hold on to this one. For the Lord, let me hear you say, for the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If I was to title this, I'd say, God has given us time. My God in heaven, Dr. Scott, God has given us time. I'm going to read it again. I wish I had somebody to help me right now. I need my Bible to read. I need my King James, and it's not even, you know, I used to have all of them on the bed with me when I started. If I'm in my room, and if I'm in the dining room, I'd have all of them in the dining room handy. And if I was in the kitchen sometime, the kitchen sink is my pulpit. But I am going to walk across my room and get my one of my King James Bibles out. I'm sorry if you hear a noise here. I'm really looking for the small one, but I'll take this one since it's handy and see what we can come up with. I have just a few more minutes. I'm going to go get this one anyway. Praise God. And where am I reading from? The gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. Let's go to Peter's gospel, which I have just read from. Thank you, sweet Jesus. Yes. Come on. My pages don't want to turn for me, but we'll get there.
Come on. Okay. I'm here. Sorry about that. Only these type of things happen in church, not on the air, right? Okay. Second Peter. That first and second Peter. And I'm reading from Second Peter, the third chapter, and verse 9. And verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but in long suffering towards." Loose here, Satan. Let's go back and read this again. I got new glasses. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness." The Lord is not slack. Let's establish that. But some men, some people, count the Lord as being slack, that he's not concerned. He's not doing what he said he would do. He's not doing it fast enough. I'm one of those that sit on that seat. I just want God to do things in a hurry, like right now. Come on, Jesus. But, you know, I found out not long ago, had God moved as quickly as I had wanted him to move, I would have been in a mess. I would have been in a bind. So I need to just sit back, relax, and let God have his way. No, the preacher didn't say that. Yes, she did. Because you know what? We are human. Even though we preach the gospel, we are human. And our flesh gets anxious. But the scripture tells us to be anxious for nothing. So we need to calm ourselves and just wait. David said, "I waited patiently." I ain't David. So I don't have those kind of patience. All right, Job, he was patient on God. I am not Job. I'm Patricia. So Patricia had to learn how to be calm within herself and just say, "Lord, I trust you, and I don't like waiting on you, Lord, but I seem like I don't have a choice. And since I don't have a choice, I can't get in front of you. Can't get in a hurry. I can't. You're so high, I can't go over you. You're so low, I can't get under you. You're so wide, God, I can't get around you. But give me the strength I need to be still," that's it, "and know that you are God." Okay? Now let's go back and do 9, and I'm closing with 9. And this is my King James Bible. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Towards us, the Lord is not slack towards us. He is long suffering. He puts up with our nonsense, if you want to put it that way. He let us go on and have our pity parties and let us think of him sometime in the way that we shouldn't think of a father and a child. We just think that he doesn't care and he don't want me to be better or to have better or to do any better. Why? Because he didn't move because I wanted you to come right now, God, and your right now is not the right time for right now. It says 1 year. I read that to you. Let me go back and read it again because I really appreciate the Bible. It says, "But, beloved, he is not ignorant of," now this is my King James, verse 8, "But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing,
that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Now, this is this one here in my new spiritual body. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day, and it lets you know, I'm reminding you that your time is not God's time. Just because you think tomorrow is coming and you not getting what you asked for on today, well, there's a different time span here. One day is as 1,000 years with the Lord, and 1,000 years as one day. So now you can take that to the bank. You can take it or leave it. You can either get it in 1,000 years as one day, or the one day as 1,000 years. I'm working on mine. I'm trying to get mine in one day in the same year. Oh, bless his name. I tell you, I just like to have a little humor. And some of you are doing the same thing. I hear them when they pray, come right now, God. We need you right now, God. We need you right now. Sometimes he comes right now, and sometimes we have to wait on him. But while we're waiting, we must nurture our soul with, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I thank you. I believe that it's already done. I believe that you have granted my petition. God, give me the strength that I need to wait patiently upon you. But God, don't let it be too long. Woo! My God, I said a mouthful then. And that's what I like about the Word of God, because not only do I preach to you, I preach to myself. I can't tell you that God is a good God for you, and it's not coming to me as well. God is a good God, and he is worthy to be praised. I tell you, I've had a good time with you all again on today. I've had a wonderful time being with you all. I believe I started out in Hebrews and I ended up in Peter. But just know these things, that one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let the church say amen. Thank you, God.
Pastor Barron, for that inspiring, uplifting sermon. He'll give you everything, and he is here right now.